Well, as we're standing, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through it, and we pray that as we seek to engage with your word this morning, you would open our hearts afresh to you, that your Holy Spirit would make real to us these words he inspired all those years ago. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, I wonder if you've ever seen the TV sitcom from the 1990s called Cheers. It ran for several years and was about a group of people from mixed backgrounds who met up regularly in a pub. The words of the theme tune became the series tagline, "Where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came." Well, those lyrics might be a little bit cheesy, but they do express something of what we all want deep down. We're not content as isolated individuals. We're made to relate together. We need to give and receive in relationships with others. Now, over these autumn Sundays, we've been considering the Christian worldview, the world we all want, we've called it. And we began at the end with the great hope that we especially recall at Advent, that with Jesus' return, God will finally bring about a perfected creation where everything will be brought together under his loving leadership. But we've also had to recognize along the way the realism of the Bible about this world. We have spoiled God's good world by turning away from God, and that explains why the world is broken as well as beautiful. And yet God, many centuries ago, promised a new world as he drew Abraham into a relationship with himself and pledged that he would create a new people in a new place, living under God's loving rule. And we've also had to agree that we human beings ourselves cannot create this world that we all want. But as we saw last time, this new world can be enjoyed because of Jesus. Jesus who died on the cross to bring forgiveness for human beings turning away from God. Jesus who rose again to prove that God's plan was coming true. Well, as we reach this final installment of The World We All Want, we're focusing on the community of God's people that formed in Jerusalem after Jesus' death, resurrection, return to heaven, and gift of the Holy Spirit. That early Christian church is a picture of what it means to be God's people, experiencing in part something of God's new world, but waiting for its ultimate fulfillment. Well, do turn to Acts chapter 2. It's page 1097 in the Black Church Bibles. And we see, first of all, that the church community is a foretaste of God's new world. I wonder if you noticed, as that passage was read, the communal and the corporate language that was expressed there. Speaking of the first Christians in Jerusalem, Luke the writer says, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day they were attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. You see, in the good news of Jesus, God is inviting people not to, as it were, an exclusive one-to-one with him. He's inviting people to become part of his family. Now, the world that we all want involves good relationships with others. And it's God's plan that through local church communities, a real foretaste of the ultimate new world that is coming should be experienced. So here is another part of the fulfillment of the promises to Abraham that we considered some weeks ago. The promise of a people united together in a place of blessing in harmony with God himself. And as we saw last time, Jesus died to make that promise come true. He didn't die just to rescue me. He died to rescue a new people, a new nation in the language of Genesis where Abraham is spoken about. And it's a very different nation from other nations that we've known. It is a nation made up of people from all the world's nations, all rescued by Jesus and serving him as their king. Acts chapter 2 has just illustrated that with the good news being explained to people from all over the known world. We've seen another illustration of it this morning as we've thought about Nepal and Christian churches forming and growing there. You see, God's new nation is not defined by geography, wealth, politics, ethnicity, or history. It is defined by God's rescue through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it's created by the Holy Spirit as he takes all that Jesus has done and applies it to our lives. So here, in that early church in Jerusalem, we find a group who spend time together. People who enjoyed fellowship, that is, sharing, participating in one another's lives. And they learnt God's truth together as they met. They praised God together in their homes and more formally in the temple. And though there's no binding commitment on Christians to do this, they had all things in common. What is so clear is that they cared for each other practically, even to the extent of selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, as we read these words, there's a reminder that it's all too easy to absorb the world's standards and have a very individualistic vision of life, even of being a Christian and belonging to a church community. So, we come to church with a purely me-focused perspective. It's all about me and my spirituality. I have little thought about the corporate dimension of being a Christian. So I assess my time in a church gathering merely in terms of what I get out of the service, with little regard for what I might offer to others in terms of serving others and being an encouragement to others. And this is surely one of the reasons why people say, and you'll have heard it, oh, I can be a Christian without going to church. Well, of course, in a way that's true, in the sense that we don't have to go to church in some way to sort of make God love us or accept us. That's only possible through relying on Jesus and his death and resurrection. But it is a rather odd Christian, a rather irregular Christian, who doesn't gather on a regular basis with God's people and makes meeting with God's people something that's very important in their life. For as we've seen from the start in this sermon series, God has made us for community. And the world we all want involves good relationships with others, something that church is planned by God to foster and to encourage. So it is good to ask ourselves, how do we make being at church with our Christian brothers and sisters a real priority? How do we share our lives in a way that really gives encouragement and support to others? How can we serve so that the rest of the church family is built up? Gathering with our church community is on a different level from being at a club or doing an activity that we sort of find time for when we feel like it, as we can fit it in. It is important to make meeting together a priority, something that is so important we'll only fail to do that when something really, really significant stops us from doing it. Now, it's also why it's good to have time informally together, to share our lives, to look out for each other. And that's why many find small home groups so beneficial, or times like bring and share lunches, coffee after the services, and so on, and other groups. Well, this new church community in Acts illustrates what all churches are meant to be, the prototype of the world we all want. Just as Jesus, in his life on earth, gave us a glimpse of that world, so his people are a foretaste of that which is to come. So the church is a foretaste of God's new world. But we also see, as we think about this issue, that the church is a waiting community for God's new world. Having seen something of the ideal, Christians are the first to admit that we are not all we should be all of the time, and churches are not all that we should be. We don't always love each other as we should. We don't always forgive each other as we should. We don't always share with each other as we should. Some years ago, I was given a poster by a head teacher in a primary school. You'll have heard this perhaps before, some of us. It said, "Please be patient with me. God hasn't finished with me yet." And that is a very good motto for every Christian and every local church. Knowing our inadequacies makes us long for the new world that Jesus is bringing. It's a reminder that we are a waiting community. God's new world has not yet come in its completeness. In the previous chapter of Acts, in the first chapter, we read of Jesus ascending to heaven and angels who were there watching it happen, telling the disciples, "Why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." We began this series back in September, recognizing that Jesus will come back to establish God's new world. As his people, we look to that together. Just as we wait for his return, we are a people who are about certain tasks, enjoying and sharing certain responsibilities. And we see some of those marks of a genuine Christian community in the life of those early believers in Jerusalem. So, as we wait, we learn. Do you remember those early Christians when they met together, verse 42, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching? God's people met together around God's word from the apostles' teaching, that which we have now in our New Testaments. And that is the pattern we see from the beginning with the Old Testament people of God, being those who are constituted by meeting around God's presence as his word is read and explained. And it's why today we spend time seeking to thoughtfully engage with the Bible so that we can hear God's voice, to be reminded of what it really is to live for Christ in this world, to see again what is really true when we live in a world that is so often out of sync with God, to know a clearer vision of what it is to live for Christ and to be able to encourage one another in the hope that's set before us. So as we wait, we learn, but also as we wait, we praise God and pray to him. Verse 42 again, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God. So here is a great model of thankfulness to God for his kindness in Jesus and celebration of his greatness. There's time to pray to him, expressing the relationship that we've been given to him, not because we deserve it, but because of Jesus. And offering our prayers together to be mysteriously used by God as he works out his rescuing plans. But as we wait too, we are to be a people who share good news. I wonder if you were struck by what happened as the new church community went about this active waiting for God's new world. The end of the reading, verse 47, we heard, and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You see, God was at work. God was at work as the gospel message was explained. And part of that involved sharing that message of Jesus who died and rose again so that we might escape the just judgment of God against our sins. But this happened as the Christian community were living out its responsibilities to God and to one another. As the missionary bishop Leslie Newbegin wisely put it on one occasion, the congregation is the interpretation of the gospel. In other words, a church fellowship should illustrate the good news and make it more attractive to those round about them. So the church is a waiting community for God's new world. But finally, as we read these words in Acts chapter 2, we see that God calls people to join his new community, which foreshadows his new world. As we draw to a close this overview of the Christian worldview, it's important to recognize that as God offers the hope of the world we all want through his Son and his work on behalf of others, we are called to respond to him. The benefits of what Jesus has done are not automatic. We need to join in with what God is doing. Peter's sermon that day, on the day of Pentecost, includes a very real challenge. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, the message of Jesus and his resurrection, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So you see, to be put right with God, to be forgiven, to be given the gift of the Holy Spirit, to be brought into God's new community, it involves repenting and having faith. Now, it's not our repenting and our believing that puts us right with God. Jesus' death in our place does that. But we receive the benefits of what he has done as a gift as we repent and believe. Now, repentance means turning back to God. It means recognizing our part in spoiling his good world. It means recognizing God's new world with God at the center. So we turn from a membership of a community that so often ignores God, and we become members of a community that has been given a relationship with God and seeks to serve him, to know him, and to love him. Now, for those who heard the gospel all those years ago in Jerusalem, the right response to God also involved being baptized. The symbolic act involving water as a visual aid, which speaks of being connected with Jesus and being washed clean through his death. Baptism then is a picture of putting our faith, our trust in what God has done for us in Jesus. Now today, if we have been baptized perhaps as a baby or a small child, but are just coming to realize what it all means, well then we need to add our trust to what was done to us all those years ago as a pledge of God's promise. And we need to believe in Jesus personally. Of course, if we weren't baptized, we should seek to be. So those who turn to God and believe in Jesus find themselves becoming members of the community of Jesus, part of that foretaste of the new world that will one day come in fullness. Well, we began remembering that we are made for community. The church is designed by God to be the prototype of the world that we all want with its new community. If you've got that green notice sheet there, you'll see the little picture on the top left-hand corner. So a picture of the fact that God makes a new people. That's the little person. And he makes us for a new world. That's expressed by the tree. And he announces the reality of this new world through the life of the church, through the life of local churches in community all over his world. So the church community is a foretaste of God's new world. The church is a waiting community, and we learn, pray, and share God's good news as we wait for his new world. And God calls people to join this new community, which foreshadows the new world by repentance and faith in Jesus and his death and resurrection. So you see, the local church is an outpost of the world we all want. And it's right here in the middle of the world we all know. So what part are we playing in that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great purposes for your world. We thank you that you are working them out and that they will one day be fulfilled when Jesus returns. And we thank you that you have created your people to be with you and to know you. We thank you for local churches. We thank you for our church. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to be a more realistic foretaste of that world that is to come. Help us to be a loving people, a caring people, a people who do look out for one another, a people who rely on you and know your grace in our lives. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we do that, you would help us to be a witness to those around us of your goodness and mercy. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.